So there I was on a plane returning home from St. Louis. Or rather, there I was in a plane on the runway at the airport in St. Louis with, I think, the not unreasonable expectation that we would be in the air soon, as our flight had already been delayed 2 hours. I was anxious to get home, as I had not seen Sam in several days. But all things considered, I thought I was coping quite well, especially because I am a skeptical and terrified flyer. In between devouring Hershey's chocolate and $13 worth of trashy magazines, I had spent the 2 hours of the delay trying to be helpful to the other stranded passengers. I distributed all my magazines and most of my chocolates. I got an old man some water. I flirted with the babies. I mingled. I schmoozed. I had recently seen what may have been a miracle at my church and had been feeling ever since that I was supposed to walk through life with a deeper faith, a deeper assurance that if I took care of God's children for God, he or she would take care of me. So I took care of people and hoped that once we were on board, everything would go smoothly. My idea of everything going smoothly on an airplane is A, that I not die in a slow-motion fiery crash or get stabbed to death by terrorists, and B, that none of the other passengers try to talk to me. All conversation should end at the moment the wheels leave the ground. Finally, we were allowed to board. I was in row 38, between a woman slightly older than I with limited language skills and a man my own age who was reading a book by a famous right-wing Christian novelist about the apocalypse. A newspaper had asked me to review this book when it first came out, because its author and I are both Christians, although, as I pointed out in my review, he's one of those right-wing Christians who thinks that Jesus is coming back next Tuesday right after lunch. And I am one of those left-wing Christians who thinks that perhaps this author is just spiritualizing his own hysteria. "How is it?" I asked, pointing jovially to the man's book, partly to be friendly, partly to gauge where he stood politically. "This is one of the best books I've ever read," he replied. "You should read it." I nodded. I remembered saying in the review that the book was hardcore, right-wing, paranoid, anti-Semitic, homophobic, misogynistic propaganda, not to put too fine a point on it. The man smiled and went back to reading. I couldn't begin to guess what country the woman was from, although I think it's possible that she had one Latvian parent and one Korean. She sounded a little like Lotka Gravis, the Andy Kaufman character on Taxi, except after things began to fall apart, when she sounded just like the Martians in Mars Attacks. "Ack, ack, ack," she'd cry, but I'm getting ahead of myself. As we sat there on the runway, the man with the book about the apocalypse commented on the small gold cross I wear. "Are you born again?" he asked as we taxied down the runway. He was rather prim and tense, maybe a little like David Eisenhower with a spastic colon. I did not know how to answer for a moment. "Yes," I said. "I am." My friends like to tell each other that I am not really a born-again Christian. They think of me more along the lines of that old Jonathan Miller routine where he said, "I'm not really a Jew. I'm Jew-ish." They think I am Christian-ish, but I'm not. I'm just a bad Christian, a bad born-again Christian. And certainly, like the Apostle Peter, I am capable of denying it, of presenting myself as a sort of leftist liberation theology enthusiast and maybe sort of a vaguely Jesus-y bon vivant. But it's not true. And I believe that when you get on a plane, if you start lying, you are totally doomed. So I told the truth, that I am a believer, a convert. I'm probably about 3 months away from slapping an aluminum Jesus fish on the back of my car, although I first want to see if the application or stick'em in any way interferes with my lease agreement. And believe me, all this boggles even my mind. But it's true. I could go to a gathering of foot-wash Baptists and, except for my dreadlocks, fit right in. I would wash their feet. I would let them wash mine. But as the plane taxied out to the runway, the man on my right began telling me how he and his wife were homeschooling their children, and he described with enormous acrimony the radical, free-for-all, feminist, touchy-feely philosophy of his county's school system. And I knew instantly that this description was an act of aggression against me, that he was telepathically on to me, could see that I was the enemy, that I will be on the same curling team in heaven as Tom Hayden and Vanessa Redgrave. And then suddenly, the plane braked to a stop.